Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So I titled the message. If you don't have a copy of it, grab, anybody needs an outline, we'll get one for you. Just raise your hand up and Mike will grab them. And Abounding in Hope, this is the title that the Lord gave me. I want to ask you, first of all, we're going to start this Wednesday night on Undercover, but it's actually going to be Unmasking Deception. Let me take a, you'll see this in a minute how this might connect, but we're in a major place of deception right now on the earth. In fact, we know from the Apostle Paul, he told Timothy, his spiritual son, the last days would be marked by deception. Doctrines of demons and teachings that come from demons, right? And that many would fall away. It says some would fall away from the faith. Fall away from, that means they were in the faith. So those who don't think you can get unsaved, there's a bunch of scriptures that kind of contradict that. That's one that says you can't fall away from the faith if you weren't in the faith. But okay, so what's my point? Right now, if you go on any of the apps and you're trying to watch maybe a Jonathan Cahn or somebody on the YouTubes or those, you'll see even Billy Graham, Jonathan Cahn came out and said, if you don't see Jonathan Cahn official, do not listen to it. It's AI deception. Now, I know you. Some of you get angry at me or at least annoyed when I tell you, look, okay, you can use this thing. But one day, this thing is, it is already being infiltrated. And it is so deceptive, you can't tell the difference. That's why, hold up the book. I got to her. She's got her paper Bible. This thing, if it's a translation that is good, like King James, do King James, do Living, the ones that we know are valid, that this is not susceptible. It's in your hands. It's not going to be modified. And so you need to get a paper book with the book and study it and mark it and get in this and know it, because there's a time coming that Antichrist is going to take it all away. And then he's going to use that thing in AI. You can see it right now, how good, how it's amazing. The robotics and everything that's coming out, it's just woohoo. So my point is, we're going to uncover some of the deception that's in our society today and try to look at that, look at how to uncover. But y'all need to get a Bible. Yeah, some of the new ones are like, eesh. Okay. So, Jesus, you're not mad at me, right? You get it? It makes sense. You'll know it one day. We're not going to be deceived. Because he said if he doesn't shorten the time, even the very elect would be deceived. That's what he said, right? Okay. Abounding in freedom. So let's turn to Romans. I would like you to go. I'm going to give you actually two translations. New King James, Romans 15. I'm going to look at the New Living Translation. The King James Version, written in 1600, is the thought for, is the word for word, translated in the 1600s. And then it was kind of updated in the New Living Translation with the thought for thought. I want to look at both of those. I like both. I like how they both, there's no perfect translation, by the way, if you don't go back, has to go back to the original, but they do the best they can. So let's look at Romans 15. And let's look at verse 13. Actually, before we get there, let's look at verse 4. So Romans 15, verse 4. Let me read King James, New King James. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. New Living says it this way. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So we know, who's the Word? Jesus is the Word, right? We know from John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? So He is the Word, and the Word likes to speak. Right, he likes to have a word, and here's his word. And what we're saying is this word, because of what was written, gives us hope, because we know the truth that will set us free. All right, now pop down to verse 13. I pray, this is Paul speaking to the church in Rome, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me read King James. Romans 15, 13, New King James, and which is at the top of your handout. Now the God of hope, he's got a lot of names, right? Even Alicia said that. God's got a lot of names. One of his names is the God of hope. He's the God of peace, right? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's unpack this. First of all, one of his titles is the God of hope. Fill you with all joy. So is joy and happiness the same thing? They're different, right? Happiness is based on conditions. I'm happy today because things are going my way. Joy is not contingent upon circumstances. It's an innate thing that lives right here because he's the God who fills you with joy, right? Now, you may have happiness associated with it, but he is the God of all hope who will fill you with, now, joy and peace. He's also the Prince of Peace, right? So it's no wonder that when you believe, it says in believing. So you can't have access. That's why, you know, I was thinking about this week. I've been in ministry for 35 years between this church in Georgia, associate here. And I don't remember 30 some odd years ago the amount of phone calls I get every week of fathers and mothers telling me I've got a 16-year-old child that wants to kill themselves. I've got a spouse that's in total despair. The hopelessness that's right now rising in the earth, and you can see it. I forget the number. The statistics are horrifying about our servicemen and women who are committing suicide every week. So that level of hopelessness, that spirit of hopelessness is in the earth. And it's going to actually wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better as things continue. You know, if you're not involved in understanding some of the signs that are happening right now, it would really be good for you to study Scripture because he says, be awake. Be awake because he's coming. When you start, look, the number of prophetic revelations, prophetic affirming words that are taking place in Scripture right now are actually mind-blowing. When he said, all of Israel will be encompassed by enemies. Well, look at that. Israel as a nation, right? That happens in 1948. When you look at earthquakes, they said last night, we were watching this app, the earthquakes that are happening all over the earth, the number and the, how about all this, the struggles that are happening, floods, earthquakes, fires. It's like there's so much going on in the earth right now that the enemy is going to use. These are the birth pains. Didn't he tell us in Hebrews chapter 12, he's going to shake it all. He's going to shake everything. He'll shake everything in your life and in mine so that that which remains is the rock. Jesus, right? He tells us he's the rock. And so it's not surprising that even Jesus said, you know, don't be surprised when these trials come upon you. Well, we don't like trials. We don't like the tribulation. And somehow I think maybe there's this misconception when we become believers, everything's supposed to work out. You just got targeted by the enemy. In fact, he says that in Revelation 12, right? All those who love Jesus and maintain their testimony, he's at war with you, the devil. Revelation 12, look at it. Revelation 12, 17 says that. So it's no wonder we're at war, and he wants to destroy you, destroy your families, take you out, destroy your marriage. So there's no wonder that we're in a fight, but that hope that is in him. So let's go back and unpack this. The God of all hope. Well, first of all, what is the definition of hope? A feeling. Are we allowed to have feelings? Wow. Sometimes we say no, it's not based upon feeling, it's based on fact. But hope is a feeling or an expectation and a desire. A feeling, an expectation, a desire for certain things to happen. A person or a thing that may come and help you. Well, we know that Jesus is the Savior, so we have an expectation of the hope of the Savior coming and saving us, right? He's going to get us out of here. In fact, if you're a pre-trib rapture guy, which I am, by the way, that's not a hill to die on, but I believe that he's going to come and rescue his church. Right? Revelation 3 says, I see your perseverance. I see your struggle. Even though you don't have much strength right now, I see you, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to take you out to keep you from what's coming on the whole earth. Look at the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3. You look at it. It's one of the scriptures that pre-tribber guys like, and I do. There's others that say, well, I don't know. Either way, we have a hope. Amen. Right? We know Jesus is going to work it out. I love this in Addie's translation. Everything's going to work out, my baby. Jesus is going to work it out, my baby. That's in First Addie, right? The book of First Addie. And it's based on scripture. He's going to work it all out, my baby. I've heard that. I said, tell me again, mama. I need to hear it right now. So that's a hope and a feeling and an expectation and a desire. And it's the belief or the foundation in faith that Jesus is the rock, right? He says, you're a fool if you build your house on sand. It's going to get washed off. But those who build a house on the solid rock, right? That's wisdom. Well, what does the word abounding mean? Well, that's an amazing word when you look up all the trends. Excess, overflow, large amounts. He is going to abound you, excess you, overflow you with hope. You know what will drive the devil absolutely wacko, give him a major migraine? When you're going through a whole lot of stuff and you still offer the sacrifice of praise. You can't do that on the other side. That's on this side, right? So when it's like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but praise you anyway. I praise you in the storm. I praise you. It's like, man, the devil just tried everything. It's kind of like the Job experience. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Whoa, right? Even Job's wife came and said, man, you're looking ugly with all those boils. Curse God and died, Job. Even the ones closest to you, right, may at that point. But what he said, nope, I don't care. That's why God knew Job. You can do what, you can't kill him, but you can do everything. Whew. We don't necessarily like that scripture, but it proved, devil, I'm going to show you my people, my children who love you, they will never deny me. You did. Your free will, Satan, you denied me. Right? He had free will. Lucifer made Satan, and he led the rebellion. Right? God made him perfect, but he had free will. All the angelic realm, just like you and me, have free will. And he chose to rebel against, I want to be like God. That pride and that arrogance, you can see it in the book of Isaiah. Ezekiel says, he was arrogant in his prideful arrogance and his willful choice to rebel against God. And Revelation 12 says he led one-third of the angels with him in the rebellion. Many believe that's the demonic realm that's here on earth, because Revelation 12 says, the good news is they were cast out of heaven. The bad news is they were cast to earth. Hallelujah. And why? Because the devil uses him as a pawn in your life and mine to show that devil, these children who love me. So abounding in excess and overflow and hope. There's this, so it's a feeling, it's a sense, but I love this scripture where when you look at number one in the God of all hope. Not just the God who gives hope, he's the source of it. He's the access way. He's the connection. You guys who are electrical know that you got to get power from the transformer into the house, right, to run our stuff. The conduit or the connection to get that source in the house is the wiring. Holy Spirit's in here. He's the wire job. He's the one who's connected to the source. He actually is the source because he's God. He's part of that. But he lives here. It's like, that's like, how does the God live in? Yeah, whoa. But he says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's our connection source, but our soul man, our mind, will, and emotion still in transition, right? Letting God, it was actually, Carrie read out of Romans 12. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, the kind that he'll accept. Let God change the way you think. This is that transformation of the sanctification of the soul. We're in this journey learning more and more about the transition from what that which was not true to that which is true. And so the Holy Spirit, that's why he says it's by the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. When he says you'll abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we sound like a broken record. In fact, I had a prayer ministry this week with a young pastor's wife from another church, another part of the state, and she came and hadn't really heard a whole lot. Mama and I were, we did a teaching mode on, had never really heard a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, we know the Holy Spirit's there, but what about the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's the gift of the Father. In fact, I have it listed on the outline. You got to ask the Father for the gift, right? Luke 11, 13. He says, ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why he tells them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift I told you about. And then Acts 1, 8 says, when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you power to become a witness. You got to be a witness. I loved it this week. Ron was telling me he went to the doctor's office to get something checked out, la, 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 and ended up leading the doctor to the Lord, who had had prayer before, but you know, the Lord downloaded a word to him and says, ask him if he knows the Holy Ghost, and he said, Jesus the Lord. And he said, well, I think so. Or something. Yeah. What did he say?
I told him, he said, I think so. I said, if you think so, you don't know it.
Yeah, because you know that you know that you know that he is, he's in here, right? So that disturbed the doctor a little bit. So after Ron finished the procedure, the doctor took him in his office. It says, tell me about that. Ron ended up praying for him, and the doctor said, I feel it. I've never felt this before, right? So what is that? That's the witness of the power of the Holy Ghost. You will get a download. I've heard people say, how do you hear God? Well, God is in here. Just let him talk to you, right? It's like, my sheep hear my voice, right? So this is the hope that is in us, the power of the Holy Ghost. So you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why at any time we lead someone to Christ, we also say, Lord, invite the Holy Spirit in right now. Now, I get it. When I was in other denominations, it says, well, Pastor, when I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit, right? Yep, you're born again. Yep, you got it. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then you need to read the rest of the book. Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit Pentecost, right? Acts chapter 4, they get baptized again, even all the apostles, right? And there's an earthquake. Acts chapter 8, Philip in Samaria. It says the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them, had not come on them yet, and yet they're all believers. Acts 19, same thing. Paul asked the question, did you receive, to 12 believers in Acts 19, verses 1 through 6, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, when I was in a denomination, but there's more. There is a baptism of fire. When Paul lays hands on them, they baptize in the Spirit and they speak in tongues. So we do a disservice if we don't tell people, you got to have the connector. That's why Jesus said in John 16, there's an advantage that I go away. And they're like, no, it's not. You can't leave us. Timothy and Tom's like, oh my gosh, where are you going? I don't know where you're going. I don't know where the Father is. And he goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And he says, okay. And then the Holy Spirit comes on them and they realize, oh, now we get the advantage of John 16. There's an advantage that I go away because then the Father will send you the Holy Spirit who will lead you, guide you in all truth, and he will reveal what I told you, and he'll also reveal the future. You got to know the future as believers right now because it's coming. The shaking is coming. And he said, there's going to be a deception. When this Antichrist stands up and starts calling fire from the sky and miracles start happening, there's going to be a whole conversion of people unto falling away from the faith. And unless you know this truth, unless you stand on it, and it may cost you your life, may cost me my life as well. But we don't want to ever deny him. Get this rooted in you. That's why you got to get this rooted in you by the Spirit of truth. Because then you'll never depart from him. Once you've tasted and see, once you've tasted and see, you can't untaste and unsee, right? So we thank the Lord that he is the source of all power. Now, when everything, look at number one there under the God of all hope. He's not just the God that gives hope, he's the source. And when everything seems to be shaken, that's that scripture in Hebrews 12, 27 there. Number two, he's going to shake everything in heaven and on earth. So that only that which you're, so what is he shaking in your life right now? Whew. When he does the sifting, my dad used to do this when he was planting his grass. He had this little chicken wire sifter and he'd take a shovel and have me shake it. The rocks would stay on top and only the pure topsoil would fall through. That's what he does. He's looking for the topsoil in your life that is going to be fruitful. But he's got to get some of these rocks out of the way, some of these weeds that are in there that are growing. So that's what he's doing. He's shaking it all down. He's, look at society. He is shaking it everywhere. Good night. Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. They say there's this whole, they looked at this whole ring of fire of these different volcanoes that are now erupting all around. It's like, wow, they've been dormant for, hey, we don't know the day or the hour, but it certainly looks like it's getting closer. Okay. Number three, God is the solid rock. That's that Matthew 7, the rock on whom I stand. Number four, God does not just want you to scrape by emotionally, but be filled with overflowing joy and peace. Peace and joy. In the midst of the trouble, that's the one that is mind-blowing. In fact, the conditions there, if there's any conditionality to this, now the God of hope fill you in believing. One, you can't do this unless you're a believer. You can try and muster it up with positive thinking, you know, but it's, you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in there, the God of all truth. So we got to believe, number five there, in A, God is near, God is good, and God's working all things together. We didn't compare this, but I love when Kyle got up and says in Romans 8:28, he works all things together for those who love him and are called to his purpose. If you don't know God, he doesn't have to guarantee he's going to work all things together. Now, in his love for us, he'll set up circumstances that'll get us to a point where I give up. I need you, Jesus. He'll bring you down to bring you up. He'll do that because he loves you. But the guarantee is those who love me, I'll work it out. Even when it's a terrible thing that's happened. Because God is good and the devil's bad. End of theology. God is good and the devil's bad. What else you need to know? Well, how do you explain it? Hey, I don't know. God's going to work it all out, my baby. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be baptized. You've got to ask the Father, Luke 11:13. So let's look at this. How did this Apostle Paul, how did this guy who was so zealous, so fervent, you know, he killed Christians, arrested Christians, got an agreement from the Pharisees to do, how did this dude who was so zealous, he was so well trained by Gamaliel, he knew all the Old Testament scriptures, he's a Roman citizen, he's got it all together, and he's doing more than any of the others to persecute the church, those people of the way, those Christ ones? Well, how did he get to a place where he could write this and says, the God of all hope? Here's a guy who's shipwrecked, snake bit, I mean, stoned for dead, got hit squads, they got to lower him in a basket to let him get away because they got all these people after him to kill him. How did this guy get to a place where the God of all hope, Paul needed some hope, right? That what he was doing, first of all, he was hoping, he says, I'm the least of all the apostles because of what I did to persecute the church. So he worked extra hard to recognize the fact that, and he even said it, and then he says, I won't boast, but let me boast. These super apostles who want to boast, let me boast a little bit. And then he boasts a lot. Like, I've been shipwrecked and homeless, and I've been starving, and I've been floating in the sea for 3 days. And he goes, okay, Paul, that's enough, right? How did the apostle get there? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 on how he did that. How did God set him to that understanding? And this, I hope, will encourage you. It certainly encouraged me. When we go through the dark night of the soul, when absolutely we just like, where are you, God? How does this fit? So take a look at this. This is in, now Paul's, you know, when he does all of his mission trips, wherever he goes, either revival's breaking out or riots, right? They want to kill him or they want to celebrate what he's saying. And so the mission trip wasn't nice and, you know, it's not the third floor of the Ramada. That's not, he's in places where they're after him and he's doing what God, and so he gets to this place in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me read out of New Living. It says, Paul writes, he says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and my sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. So he's on a mission trip. We were crushed, overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But, here's the but God, right? But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead. We thought we would die, so we'll trust him that he can raise us from the dead. In fact, Paul was raised from the dead. Many believe when he was stoned, he was actually killed and raised from the dead. Verse 10, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. So we get this first part in 2 Corinthians. I want you to know we're crushed. We're overwhelmed. We are like, we're going to die. If you've ever been in a place where, I don't know if we're going to get out of this. I've been in a couple of mission trips where I wasn't sure when the warlocks say we've come to a blood sacrifice to kill you and you're about ready to get on a stage and it's like, okay, God. Is this it? Do you want me to go out there or do you want me to stay? Why do I have this information now, Lord? And I just remember the Lord saying, do you believe me? You preach it, but do you believe me? Okay, if I die, I die. In the name of Jesus, I got up and I bound everything that could hurt us on that. I stood on the stage in Tanzania. There are about 3,000 to 5,000 there, right, Mama? And that in Moshi Town, I said, in Swahili, you translate this exactly. I bind Satan, I bind violence, I bind thank God. Thank God for God. He's there. And praise the Lord, we saw a tremendous amount of healing and deliverance. In fact, one lady, Jack Taylor's wife, Frida, saw what God did and said, oh my gosh, power, power. I thank God for his presence. So Paul then goes on, turn a couple of pages to the right in your paper Bibles. I'm just messing with you. Give me grace. I'm just messing. All right. I love to hear pages turn. Anyway, so look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Woohoo. Remember, Paul just said, we thought we'd die. We gave up. It was like, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, we're like fragile clay jars containing a great treasure. You realize you're a broken clay pot, right? That's what we are. We leak out. We have these days like, I'll come home sometimes from church or we were doing worship yesterday and it's like, yay! And you get home, it's like, oh, where'd the Holy Ghost go? I just had him. You know? Oh, Lord. And so that's why we got to get filled up. That's why he says, do not, Hebrews, right, 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. People who separate from church, you're going to get picked off as a lone wolf. So just, we got to be together. We need family because iron sharpens iron. Well, the family hurts. Yeah, that's drama and family. It is good for you. In fact, your flesh needs somebody else to do some stuff there, right? But pastors, they're supposed to be loving and nice. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yep. Anybody who's got a family that has no drama, come lay hands on me, okay? Because, boy, I got some going on right now. I need some prayer for it. Anyway, okay. That was one of my burdens. Okay, so moving right along, it says, now this light is shining in these clay jars containing great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. You see, Paul the Apostle says, he was so self-reliant, Why? It's wild. Why would God send the educated Pharisee to the Gentiles who don't know anything, and he sends the uneducated fisherman Peter to the Jews? Because your head gets in the way, and what you think you know is a problem, right? So we got to have, so he says, okay, so now he realizes, you know what? This makes it clear that our power is from God. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles. But we're not crushed now. He was crushed a couple of chapters earlier. He says, no, now we understand God's in charge. We're perplexed. In other words, I don't know what the heck is going on right now. But we're not driven to despair. I no longer allow this confusion to bring me to depression. Don't you buy into the lie. Don't listen to the devil. That's why we do a whole lot of, what voice are you hearing? 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Take every thought captive. Bring it into subjection to Christ, right? Why? Because your head is dangerous. It can put your mindset. That's why he says, let God change the way you think. Some of your thinking is really stinking, and it's got to go, and we got to get it under subjection. He says, we're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are not abandoned by God. We are knocked down, gut punched, right? But we are not destroyed through suffering. Now, here's the benefit. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You who are going through stuff, when you're out there, and I've heard the reports every day this week in Walmart, in the doctor's office, things, the prophetic downloads, the divine appointments, the guy who loads the cart out in the grocery store, and all of a sudden there's an input of a divine appointment. And people, you give that word out to them, and they're like, how many of them have, when asked, can I pray for you? Yes, I need prayer right now. It's like, boom, the veil goes down. This is your, I'm getting electrocuted right now for all of us to take that assignment. Pray every day. God, yeah, I'm going here, I'm going there, but what are you doing? Because you got an agenda inside my agenda. And since I'm a disciple out there, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? We were with some family on our, we're up in a lodge, and we were being careful because, you know, anyway, you don't want to offend family, but at the same time, sometimes you got to offend family. So what is, Katie's not here, so I can brag on her a moment, right? So Katie's sitting at the table. She gets real quiet at the dinner table, and my family's all there, and Katie gets up. I go, okay. Ginny and I look at each other. She's got an assignment from the Lord. She walks over to this table, doesn't know them from Adam's, and there's a, looks like a young man, and turns out to be the mom, and Katie delivers a word. To the young man. And you know, and well, later, the mom comes by at the end of the dinner and comes over and says, Katie, thank you. Amen. And that boy, he left. So what the point is, God will download to us the word that needs to be given at the right time. And if we're not willing to be vulnerable, maybe to be rejected or even embarrassed, right? Then we miss it. We all have testimonies of somebody who spoke to us, right? That's like, oh gosh, I'm so glad you spoke to me. So how did Paul get here? Because he went through it all. Now let's keep going. It says that suffering is in us. Let's drop down to verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is why we never give up. We never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles, this one always is humorous. Our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce in us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Get a hold of that for a moment. The stuff you're battling that you're giving him glory for and you're standing in faith on will become a reward of eternal blessing. That is huge. If you really get that, remember Paul says, may the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, right, in Ephesians, we want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the power that's within you, right? That revelation, it does something to you, right? Because that's it's truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. And so, when he goes on, he says, these troubles, they're minor. Some of your translation, minor afflictions. They don't seem so minor right now. So he says, so we don't look at the trouble. Man, I need help there. We don't look at the trouble we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. For all the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So let's dig that a little further. Turn with me to the scripture. It's in, let's go to Peter's revelation of this. This is just before Peter's martyred. Number 7 there, tested by fire. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And let's begin. I want to begin in verse 3. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Again, amen there, right? Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live in great expectation. Here's this hope, right? And we have a priceless inheritance. What's your salvation worth? It's the greatest of all gifts. You're going to live forever. I don't know. I can't get my head around living forever. Glorified body. I'm waiting for that. Everything that falls down is going to be lifted up one day. I'm going to be buff and, yeah. Hallelujah. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Verse 6, so be truly glad. This is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many, you might want to underline many, trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's a fire test. This is the fire test. In fact, I love what David Reeser sent a note. He says, we're going through the crucible. It's like in the furnace in the silver dross. And when we can see his reflection, boy, that is so true. When we can see the reflect, when he sees his reflection in our trialed fire furnace, we're about there, right? I love that analogy. So this is that power. Endure many trials tested by fire that purifies like gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, and when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring much praise, bring you much praise and glory, praise and glory and honor on the day Jesus, it says on the day Jesus is revealed, it's going to bring you praise, glory. He's going to say, come here, this is the one who stood in this fire. He's going to announce that. This is his praise and glory and honor of the one who stood under the fire test. Jesus is going to call it out on that day. Ooh, that is like, man, we don't look for rewards, but they're going to come for those who are faithful. You love him even though you've never seen him, verse 8. You love him though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Man, that is such a good word. All right, it even gets better. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Because this is that place where we need the revelation of Jesus to show us what is this faith walk. Okay, I'm looking for it. Where are you? There you go. I got it in the wrong place. Let's go. Actually, I want you to, let me go in two places first. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 first. Romans 8, I love some, these were already read, some of these scriptures. Carrie read this earlier, right? Some of the, Romans 8, look at verse 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us. There's a groaning. He's talking about, oh, wow, this is hard, right? Oh, Jesus, help me, right? That's a good groan. He will. As believers, we groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit in us. So it's okay to groan a little bit. But it's a foretaste of the future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from the sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us the full rights as adopted children, including new bodies as he promised. Verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. And then it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love him. But he also says that hope that is seen is not hope. Let me look at that. Verse 24, King James says it this way. So 8:24, for we are saved by hope, But hope that is seen is not hope. Right? Remember, it's an expectation that something's good. I have an expectation or a feeling that something good's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. That's hope, right? And he goes on. Turn with me back now to Hebrews. And let's look at Hebrews 11. That's that whole faith chapter. This kind of ties a lot together. The writer of Hebrews says, see, faith, right, actually is a substance. And that's why if you're not born again, you can't do this. You got to have God on the inside. You got to have the inside transformed. You got to have Holy Spirit living in here to get this, because faith is the substance. Look at 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance. It's a substance. It's tangible. Right? Of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. New Living says it this way. Faith is the confidence that of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance of the things that we cannot see. So what he's saying is, hope is not something you gin up. The God of hope, who is the source of all hope, who is the power of the Holy Ghost, who's in you, will connect you with the source of the hope. He is the source of that hope. You've got to have this hope in him, and then whatever's going on, you know what? I see that, but I'm not driven by what I see. I'm moved by faith and not by sight, right? Even though the devil will put sightful, horrible things, it's real, it's a fact. We're not going to deny that that's factually happened. That terrible thing happened, it's a fact. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but the truth is he's greater than that. And that's where hope, the expectation, he's going to work it all out because I'm his. It doesn't mean that you're not walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Just keep walking. Because there are green pastures on the other side of this, and the shepherd is in charge, right? Lisa preached this. It is keep walking through the valley. Doesn't mean there isn't a valley of the shadow of death. But then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, death, where's your sting? Where is it? He unempowered it. He got the keys back of hell and death. He got them. Jesus got them back again. You pass from this life right on. It's like, so is that the best you can do, devil? You're going to put me in eternity with Jesus? Right? He'll heal you on this side or heal you on the other side, but it's all done. It's healed. Right? And it's just a little while. That's why these small things, they don't seem small. And to belittle them would be not good either. You're walking through. That's why we need each other. When you can't walk by yourself, get somebody to help you. Right? We got to stand together. In some of our darkest nights, it's like, I love it when Mama Addie's over at the house says, Pastor, Jesus is going to work this out. Say it again, Mama. Jesus is going to work it out. Say it again, Mama. I got to get it from here down to here because right now I'm walking in the valley. Fire tested, but be truly glad. Number 8, hope becomes contagious. Now this is it. The hope-filled, peaceful, joy believer becomes a blazing signpost for Jesus. You, when you're filled with hope and peace and joy, well, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, but hey, God's in charge. And so that doesn't mean it's not sitting there like, you know, you open up the bill and it's like, Jesus, how are you going to heal this one? You tell him, hey, I'm a tither. You said you'd rebuke the devourer. I need you to pay this bill, God. Boy, I got testimonies of people who tell you that one. Like the guy who finds a $100 bill on the floor when he doesn't have any money outside the Food Lion. A $100 bill, people walking by, they don't even see it. I see it. It's like, no, that's yours. Hey, come on. Jesus got cattle on 1,000 hills and just need him to give me one, right? All right. The hope-filled, peaceful, joy believer becomes a blazing signpost for Jesus. That's why my prayer request is, you are on fire. Get out there, even if, like, I don't know if I'm on fire today. The fire's in there. I just need you. That's why part of the armor of God is not only the helmet of salvation, which keeps your head in the right place, right? It's also got the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, which is Holy Spirit. But he says they walk in the gospel of peace. Their feet are shod in the gospel of peace. That means when you walk out of here filled with the Holy Ghost with the full armor on, you're carrying the kingdom and the good news of the gospel. When you walk into Food Lion, it just walked in the kingdom. People might say, that's why they come up with... I like when they come up and like, the devil will even do that, right? He goes, I remember being at the register, like, I'm just trying to pay for the meat. Leave me alone, devil. Right? So this is that place where the devil knows, and so does the Holy Ghost knows who's marked. You know, you've been marked. Ezekiel says he actually took out a marker in Jerusalem and marked those who were his. And you're marked by the Holy Ghost. That's why when the Lord says, when that eastern sky splits wide open, he turns to his angels, he says, go get my kids. They know who the kids are. Right? Your name's written in the Lamb's book. He already knows it. And so that's that place where Jesus, we become a walking embassy. In fact, we just finished this 6 weeks of overcoming the spirit of offense. I don't know about you, but you can get tested in that teaching. This week, right? That we did reconciliation this past Wednesday. Do you know that you are ambassadors of reconciliation?
Yes.
Well, what does that mean? There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is I choose to forgive. And you know from Matthew chapter 6, if you refuse to forgive, God won't forgive you either. And you don't want to stand before him with some excuse. Well, I didn't want to forgive because they did all this bad stuff. Right. Tell that to Jesus hanging on the cross. Forgive him, Father, right? So forgiveness is an act of your will that you may not feel like it, right? But you do it anyway because Jesus said, forgive your enemies, pray for them and bless them. Well, that's got to be God because I'd rather do it with a brick, right? And that's got to be God in me that wants to bless them, right? But reconciliation is a restoration of relationship. Now, he also says you can't live in peace with everybody. He says, do your best to live in peace. You may not be able to live in peace with Hamas or Nazi Germany or Japanese who bombed you and tried to kill you. Okay, but when the war's over, we'll bless them, all right? So this is that place you do your best. It doesn't mean you reconcile with everybody. There's people I will not go to dinner with.
Exactly right.
Yep. I may pray for them, but I don't have to be in relationship with them. I've chosen not to be in that place of reconciliation because it's not right. It's not the timing. But I've still forgiven them. Reconciliation. But as ambassadors of reconciliation, you are actually desiring or called to reconcile those who've been lost or those who've been hurt. And to that point where you bring them in. So that's where, whether you're at work and you got, I was even this week doing a prayer ministry, a person was saying this, supervisor at work is like, oh my Lord. Well, love on him. Love on him. And when she started showing care and love, that was it got better. So this is that place where you as ambassadors, a walking embassy, you are a walking embassy of light. Recognize that. What you carry is priceless. Priceless. Even if I'm not feeling it right now, doesn't matter about that feeling. This hope is in here. And so this is the God of all hope, and his name is Jesus. So I want to finish, if we could put on some music, or we could have, is Lou here? Lou, can you come up and do some keys for us, buddy? Thank you. I want us to just kind of bow our heads, and I know we're all walking through a whole lot. But in order for miracles to be seen, we've been praying, Lord, reveal the miraculous. You need something to be miraculous. And so if he's the God of, we sing sometimes Waymaker. He's the Waymaker, right? He makes a way. And he's working even when we don't necessarily see him working. So Lord, let's just bow our heads. Lord, I thank you that, we just love your word, Lord. We thank you that it's so, it just causes us to come alive. When we see truth, it causes us to come alive in the spirit, and it impacts and affects our mind and our will and our emotions. So Lord, I want to pray for those that are really struggling. I know we did an altar call, but there are those that are struggling right now to see the breakthrough. But you're a God of the breakthrough, and you're not a God who disappoints. So I want to act on this word that, like Paul, he said, look, we were crushed and perplexed and didn't think we'd live through this. But then only a few chapters later, he says, well, we're still perplexed and we get knocked down, but we get up and we trust. We no longer rely on humans and self. We rely on the one who's everything, the source of all power and hope. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would anchor that deep in our souls, that we would know. We would know that we know that you're a good father, regardless of the relationship you had maybe with an earthly father or those in your life that were supposed to provide identity and revelation in a positive way, didn't. But God is he's the same father. He's Abba. And we are his children. When you become a born-again believer, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Colossians tells us that. That he has transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. So we are now marked. Galatians chapter 3, it says, by faith Abraham was declared righteous. And then he makes the same assessment, Paul does, that because of your belief in Christ, you are now the righteousness of Christ. Even in the unrighteous directions and things we do, the journeys we're on to get free, he still declares us his child. Now, you can't continue to practice sin. It makes it really clear. My wife and I read that this week in John, 1 John. If you have a lifestyle of practicing sin, you're probably not even saved. You read it. That's the scriptures. It says you can't keep on sinning if you're a believer. Now, there may be a journey and to try to get free through addictions or things that have struggled in the strongholds, and it's not your desire to stay in that, but you're now a new creature in Christ, and that spirit man is alive, and he wants to set you free. So you have to make a choice. You got to get rid of your drugs, your alcohol, your porn. You got to get rid of friends that lead you down a path that is destructive. But once you do that and you walk with him, he's a guarantee. He'll set you free. So don't get under condemnation, because Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't let shame and guilt and the enemy sit there and tell you how bad you are. It's by his grace that you've been saved through faith, right? Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. It's his grace. We sang about the grace of God. It's his grace that has saved you. Not about any works or anything like that, but after you get saved, his grace will drive you to good works. So Lord, I thank you for your faithful. What a God we serve. What a Savior who loves us so much that he willingly hung there for you and me. Lord, I just thank you. Let us see the price you paid, the things you suffered, that you endured, that you might have a family. Told his disciples in John 17, all those who will ever come as a result of your testimony, speaking to the 12, to the 11 of that. Lord, I thank you. All that will ever come, that's you and me. We've come because Jesus drew us, called us, and we said yes. So Lord, I celebrate. I prayed today that there would be salvation in our house. So excited and so thankful, Lord. But all of us are on a journey up the mountain of the Lord. We want to have clean hands and a pure heart, right? Psalm 24, he says, who can stand in the presence? Who can stand in the holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. Like Paul said, we're on this journey and you're sanctifying us. You began this good work in us. Continue to perform it in us, Lord, until you come. And Lord, I pray that this bride will be ready. That this bride will be ready when the bridegroom comes, when the father says, go get my kids, son. Go get your bride. This body will be ready. Make us ready, Lord. And doesn't he tell us in Revelation 19, blessed are those who are called to the wedding feast of the Lamb, for the bride has made herself ready by the good deeds that she has done. Lord, let this bride do good deeds and make ourselves ready. The garments that we wear are clean and pure in the righteous blood of Jesus. So let's stand to our feet. Lord, I thank you. I want to invite our ministry team. Come. Don't forget Kingdom Men tomorrow night, Monday night, 6:30, men, if you can come in the great room. Wednesday night, we're going to start looking at uncovering or unmasking deception. It is rampant right now. We need to be prepared. I'm going to use John Bevere's study as well. Uncover what you need to be undercover. Under cover of the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. If you're here this morning and you want to go a little deeper in prayer and agreement, if any suffering among you, let them call. So we thank you this morning, God. We pray a blessing on everyone that's here. Lord, we thank you. We're asking for the miraculous move of your presence in our lives and in the lives of those that we have before us. Thank you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.